the message of grace cannot be reduced to sin management.
God does not speak for the fun of it. There's so much power in His word.
The Bible says, in Him, we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace.
Then we read, let's still read. So this part C now, part 1C, the government of grace, all right? Part 1C. Okay, St. John's Gospel, chapter number 1. We lay a few foundation, and then since it's another service, and I'll talk a little bit about responding to redemption, and that will close. Amen. All right. Praise God. I mean, it's been amazing all morning. Amen. First service, second service. Okay. For those who still made it to second service, I mean to third service. All right. How many of you here were here for first service? Let me see. We're here for first service. Okay. Okay, some hands. Okay. Basically volunteers. All right. Praise God. Do we have the scripture? And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. I need to pay attention. Please put your phone on flight mode. You're in church now, so follow the teaching. Is that okay? All right. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the word there is logos. And logos was not exclusive to the apostle, okay, Apostle John. He borrowed the word from a philosopher known Heraclitus, if I'm correct here. Okay? So Greek philosophers believed that there was an organizing principle of the cosmos, the force that held the world together. Okay, it was an intelligent mind. You now see that a lot of the things we see today as ideologies, as concepts, they are not really new. When they say mother nature is not new, okay, when they say the mass of intelligence that controls the world is not new, all those concepts are not new. In fact, even Gnosticism is not new. Gnosticism is not new. Okay, there was the rise of the Gnostics in the days of the apostles. Are you aware? Those who believe that matter is inherently evil, spirit is inherently good. Okay, they have all kinds of children now in the 21st century. They are not new. In Christian Science, in atheism, in pantheism, all kinds. All right? So everything you see now in the 21st century, from the range of atheism to polytheism to Christian Science, they are not new. Have it together. They've been there from way back. Remember, in the days of Lot, in the land of Sodom, men came and requested that they wanted to sleep with men. I mean, remember that. They knocked the door. They said, there were these cute men who just came to your house. Bring them out for us. We want to have sex with them. Amen. That's almost like 5,000 years ago. It's not new. Now, that means it's even a little better now than it was in the days of Lot. Lot was not able to call the authorities of Sodom. I said, what are you talking about? Get me the security officials. I have my rights. He didn't have rights. That means there was such explosion of iniquity. And when a generation gets to that crescendo, they are about to be summarized. That means the end of that age, the end of that civilization must come. The end of that sphere, of that kind of oppression has come. So men came boldly to ask. In fact, they begged that I have virgins in my house. I have three daughters who are virgins. I will give them to you. Do whatever you want to do with them. And guess what? They said no. He's the man that we want. And they didn't know that those were angels. And they didn't know that the cup of Sodom was full. What am I saying? There's nothing we see today that was not present in the days of scriptures. Is it bribing authority to cover truth? The Bible says after Jesus was raised, the authorities came to bribe the soldiers so that they can lie that his body was stolen. Yes, it happened. It happened. It happened. Even when Paul was arrested, one certain fellow was looking to him to get bribed so that he can be free. So those things, there's nothing new under the sun, the Bible says. And truly, there's nothing new. Praise God. Are we together? All right, what was I saying? The Logos. So the thought that there was this intelligent mind that controls the world, that was responsible for the order in the universe. So John comes and says, look, this organizing principle of the cosmos, this intelligent mind that you say controls the order in the world, is the Word of God. He says he was with God and is God. That same Logos was in the beginning with God. With him, all things were made. Without him, there was nothing made that was made. Have it together. He now added, this same Logos, this organizing principle, this coordinating force that your philosophers talk about became flesh. He became flesh. That means God made a body for him and he intruded into the sensual. Have it together. And that is Jesus. So that's where that reading starts from. I just wanted to give background to it. So go to verse 14 now. And the world became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 15. Full of grace and reality. John the Baptist bear witness of him. So you notice that John writing this is different from John the Baptist. Amen. So he's making reference to John the Baptist. He said, John made bear witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I speak. He that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received. Grace heaped upon grace. So this is where we receive from. Grace heaped upon grace. Favor heaped upon favor. Blessings heaped upon blessings. This is what we have received. Glory to God. All right, the next verse. 17 now. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So he shows us clearly that grace is a person. That's Jesus, the Christ of God. Jesus, the Son of the living God. That's grace. He is the expression of the Father's goodwill towards man. He is the expression of eternity's kindness towards man. He is the expression of God's unmerited favor demonstrated towards man. And yet is the expression of God's power and wisdom made available to man. And I say this range of God's unmerited favor that brought man out of sin, that brought man out of destruction, out of judgment, okay, plus the availability of his resources, the availability of his riches, the availability of all that he has to man is what we call grace. And of course, that availability is because of what Jesus did on the cross. Have it together. The Bible says, it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. All fullness. Blessed Jesus. Thank you. All fullness. No one that no sick person met Jesus who wanted to get healed, who did not get healed. Because you are looking at God in a body. Kenyon calls him God's intrusion into the sensual. The Word became flesh. God is a spirit. God lives outside the confines of time. But he wanted to break into time and dwell among men. That was Jesus. He was God's intrusion into the sensual. He intruded into the material world. Hallelujah. But see, it did not diminish his divinity. Oh, when you hear us say that Jesus is 100% man and 100% God, it is true. Completely true. It did not diminish his divinity. What did he tell Philip? He said, Philip, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Because I am the express image of my Father. Express image. Exact icon of my Father. Express image of his person. So when you see Jesus, you can't look for the Father anymore. Because whatever the Father is, Jesus is. He says, I and my Father are one. The writer of Hebrews put it this way. He said, who is the effulgence of his glory? The apokasma of his glory. The outshining of his glory. And the express icon of his person. He made him the heir of all things. That's Jesus. Jesus is not a prophet. You see, what you believe about Jesus is very important. There are many people who believe that Jesus truly came. But what gives salvation is believing who Jesus is and why he came. Amen. That you believe that Jesus came cannot give you salvation. He came as who? He came to do what? History has the record. Listen, the reality of the earthwork of Jesus is not exclusive to the Bible alone. There are historical records. Did you ever read the letter that Pilate wrote to Caesar? Masoba Telabaya. You see, when you read such things, you will feel the anointing. He was describing Jesus. He says, one day, he was in the presence of Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. He sent for him also. This was later. These are historical stuff. And Jesus appeared in the palace. He said, when he came out to meet Jesus, him as Pilate, as a ruler, he said, when I stood before this man, my legs quaked. He said, there was something about this man. That's before he was condemned, though. Amen. He said, for the religion that this man will start, if he's qualified to be called a religion, I fear may take over Rome. In his letter. And of course he did. Until Rome became the headquarters of Christianity. He was extraordinary in his earthwork. And in fact, now is more extraordinary. Get to know Jesus. You know the same John that used to put his head on the chest before he died and was raised. When he saw him in Revelation, he said, I was as dead. His eyes were as flames of fire. His feet short, bright as brass. He said, when I saw him, I fell as dead. I fell. That's the glorified Jesus. I fell as dead. That means that glory that was with his father that he talked about came upon him after the resurrection. He said, Lord, glorify your son. The glory I had with you before I came. Oh, hallelujah. That is grace. Grace is a person. Are we together? Isaiah 33 now. I'll take off from there. Isaiah 33, 22. Grace is a person. Grace is a person. His name is Jesus. It's Jesus. Grace is more than a doctrine. Grace is the gospel that we preach. Remember, Paul said, none of these things move me. For I'm ready not only to be persecuted, but to die for this gospel. He says, so that I may testify of the gospel of the grace of our Lord Jesus. I want to finish my course, so I'll testify of the gospel of his grace. That should be somewhere in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20 or so. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. Acts 20, 24, of course. Are you there now? All right. Read it for me. One, two, go. All right, lovely. What do you see from there? What do you see from there in contemporary times? The three arms of democracy. Amen. All right. So, no earthly kingdom survives without outsourcing wisdom from the spirit realm. This is what you see in the world's democracy. They didn't make it. They got it from here. This was written thousands of years ago before democracy came. But they'll tell you that the balance of power is what? Judiciary. The Lord is our judge. Executive. The Lord is our king. Legislature. The Lord is our lawgiver. Have it together. Praise God. So the God that from scriptures, and this is God expressing the three balance of power. Okay. So our teaching on the government of grace follows these three arms of government. Are you here now? All right. So we say grace has a judicial expression. Grace has an executive expression. Grace has a legislature expression, a legislative expression. Praise God. So, I said the first expression we're looking at is what? The judicial expression of grace. And that is what? Redemption. Thank you. That's where we stop. That's redemption. The judicial expression of grace is seen in redemption, which is the forgiveness of sin. Eternal forgiveness of sin. When God handled eternally the problem of sin. That's the first expression of grace. It's judicial. A legal undertone. A legality. to God's dealings with man on the earth as far as the expression of his grace is concerned. That's judicial. Praise God. And I told you that from, I told them, okay, we said that from Genesis 3, after the fall of man, God instituted a legal framework for man's redemption. So redemption is not something that God just did in his sovereignty. All right, Satan, I have judged you. All right, man, you are redeemed. No, he's a judge. He had to meet the demands of justice. Very important. He had to meet the demands of justice. He's the supreme judge of the supreme court of the universe. Are you together? Are we together? So he had to meet the demands of justice. Have you ever thought, maybe when you were much younger in the faith, if Adam, let's go back to the first questions people ask. If God knew that Adam was going to sin, why did he create him? Oh, you're part of that foolishness. Amen. Lovely. He wasn't foolish, really. He was inquisitive. Amen. And I hope you got the right answers. There's nothing wrong with answering questions. Okay? Make sure you ask the right people and get the right answers. Oh boy, I asked my mama all kinds of questions. All kinds, especially other 5, 6. I'll never forget. I asked all kinds of questions. I said, Mom, is Jerusalem in this world? Where exactly is Bethlehem as we're talking now? Is it somewhere in heaven or on earth? Praise God. And I had my answers. And what I say now is part of the questions. Amen. I asked one day, I said, Mommy, how do people give birth? How do people get pregnant and give birth? It was a mystery to me. You can guess the answer. Your guess is as good as... You see, when you want a child, you pray to God. And God will put a child there. And after some months, you give birth to a child. I say, wow, God is amazing. Amen. And guess what? I believed. If you truly believe that, you should be in children's church, not here. Amen. It's somewhere around there. Praise God. Hallelujah. So you pray to God, and God will give you the child. And you give birth. And I said, wow, I truly believe. So we ask all kinds of questions. Well, if God knew that Adam was going to sin, why did he create him? That's one. Okay. And then when he was sitting, why didn't he just show up and stop Satan from giving Eve the fruit? You see, this is why there's an error in the teaching of the sovereignty of God that rules out free will. Okay, God's honor for man's free will. Okay, any teaching that rules that out will produce error perpetually, because there'll be many gaps in that reasoning. Have it together. You have to understand that God created man not to be a robot. If God created man to be a robot, there's no glory anymore. Listen, the joy of true love is when it is inspired, not forced. How many of you love to force a girl to love you? It's no longer love. It's no longer love. He said this love is by force. You must love. People that rape, they are trying to do the love, part of love thing by force. Amen. And it's even a crime. Are we together? Are you with me this morning? That means the beauty of love is when it's offered willingly. And this is what God was after. That will help you understand the fact that when God wanted to create man to have fellowship, he didn't create a being that was a robot, that just responded to his instruction without reasoning, without a conscious mind, and without a free will to consciously give the love and fellowship from the heart. Are you seeing it now? So, and when there is free will, there's the other side of it. It's choice. Decisions. The person will have to choose. The person will have to decide. So, till eternity, God doesn't force himself on people. He wants the love given. Out of a revelation of who he is. Okay? Just like a lady will fall in love with a guy or love a guy out of getting to know the person. Oh, this guy is a wonderful person. Amen. Remember, his sister in this church is married now to one of our brethren too. They are in another part of the country. And then I will never forget, she came and told me that. Then we just started church. She was part of the founding member. See, Pastor, can you imagine? This guy, the guy was in a ministry. This guy just came and said, God told me I'm your wife. What nonsense. How can both of us even be? Look at him. Look at me. I said, calm down now. It's not that serious. After 1 year, I saw her with the phone. I said, ah, whose phone is this? It's like, no, this phone. It's the pastor, it's for... I said, madam. Lagavaya. What is going on? So, no, that somehow... Okay, we became friends. They are friends. Now that she's married with two children, amen. They are friends. Ooh, glory to God. After complaining to me, can you imagine? In fact, she was angry both with the method and the person. They were not friends. Just getting to know the lady. You see, God told me, you're my wife. Praise God. Don't go and do that kind of thing. No, you all may not turn out like that. Don't meet a lady you like and say, God told me you'll be my wife. Even if God told you, keep quiet. Do you understand? And make the person your friend. Start from there. He's fortunate that he's don't turn out that way. Maybe he sits so in, helped him. Amen. So don't try it. Praise God. How did I get here? I'm lost. Help me find my way. Bring me back to you. Free will, thank you. Praise God. All right, so God loves it that way. That's why he created man. Praise God. Glory to God forevermore. All right. So after man fell, we're talking about the justice system of God. How that God is a judge. God honors justice. And up to now, God is a God of love and justice. And there's always a balance between the two. Okay, let me answer somebody's question. There's this camp who believe that terrorists should be caused to die. And there's this camp who believe that, why are you causing them to die? We should pray for their salvation. We should pray for them to repent. God loves them. Oh, this church is praying for bad people to die. Okay, now, no. The context is praying for terrorists to die. Okay? All the headsmen killing people to die. All right? Doesn't God love them? Now, hear me. There's a balance between God's love and justice. The question you should ask yourself is, the people they are going to kill tomorrow, doesn't God love those people too? Do you understand? So, God, through history, always has a balance between love and justice. And that is why you notice he gives time even to the wicked to change. And sometimes that giving of time is at a price. Some are going to suffer because of that. But you see, his love is so strong. But there comes a time where his justice must balance his love. Have it together. He must balance his love. There are laws that are set that govern the universe. And it must be balanced. So he must strike the person down at that point. Because the people who are going to die because of the guy who is still breathing, he also loves them. Did you get that? So it's a balance of God's love and justice. Don't forget that. Sometimes he has to kill people. Amen. The Bible says the Lord killeth and maketh alive. Even in the New Testament, people die. Herod died. God moved him. He rose his heart. He did not honor God. And the Bible says an angel smote him. And he was warmed from head to toe. Are you here? So there were two people who were persecuted the church. Herod persecuted the church. Saul of Tarsus persecuted the church. The prayer of the church saved Saul of Tarsus. The prayer of the church killed Herod. Are you here? That means it shows you clearly that those who be saved by his mercy, and if you look at their hearts, you will know that those who do it out of the innocence of their heart, they are just religious zealots who were told, you see, killing people for religious beliefs is not new. Even Saul of Tarsus killed people, okay, for his religious conviction. He was a Pharisee, a strict sect. He was a Pharisee indeed, a religious one. So he was killing Christians. Remember, when Stephen was stoned to death, the Bible says that threw their garments at the feet of Saul. That means he consented to his death. What you're saying is the blood of Stephen is upon me. Remember, that's what you're saying. Well, guess what? That's St. Paul. After he got saved, you know what he said? He said, I am free of the blood of all men. I'm free of the blood of all men. Glory to God. I'm free of the blood of all men. So God set forth that system from Genesis when he took that one blood and covered Adam and Eve, covered them from their nakedness. You can see God always made a provision for sin, but it was legal. Blood had to be shed. It says, I've given blood for the atonement of the soul. You remember in Leviticus? I've given the blood for the atonement of the soul. What you are saying is, man cannot access God. Man cannot come out of sin without the penalty of sin being paid. And God knew it. And God did something about it. That is the legality of grace. So when you are thinking about your redemption and your forgiveness of sin, it is not feeling. These are legal documents that has been paid for. Amen. Listen, if you own a house, whether you felt like it's your house or not, does it change anything? The document says the house belongs to you. It's the same thing with forgiveness. It's the same thing with redemption. It's the same thing with the forgiveness of sin. The Bible says, to him we have redemption. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood. Even the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. What he's saying is grace made the forgiveness of sin available. But the route through which he did it was redemption. Was the blood of the Lamb. Are you getting it down? So it's legal. Your victory over sin is legal. Your victory over sickness is legal. Your victory over death, hell, and the grave is legal. Praise God. Hallelujah. Go and get the message for first and second service. Praise God. All right. So still talking about redemption. We've talked about the joyful sound, right? And the story God has been telling of redemption all through scriptures. Okay, I said something in second service about how that the revelation and the teaching of extravagant forgiveness and grace must be approached from the standpoint of empowerment over sin and death. So you can just note that if you're in the third service. You must approach the revelation and the teaching of God's extravagant grace in forgiveness from the standpoint of empowerment. Okay? So, grace gives us freedom from sin and gives us dominion over sin. I say that again. Grace gives us freedom from sin and dominion over sin. And I say that God's dealings with man all through scripture shows these two elements. He brought them out of Egypt. That's freedom. That he may bring them into the promised land. That's dominion. God doesn't bring out to hang. No. He brings you out and then begins to train you for dominion. Begins to train you for dominion. You will see in Romans chapter 6 verse 14. It says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law but under grace. That means the government of grace is your dominion over sin. That's what he's saying. And then when you read Titus chapter 2, you can go there now. When you read Titus chapter 2, he shows you that look. This grace teaches us how to dominate sin. Are you there? Titus chapter 2 verse 11 to 12. Let me just show you something there. Titus 2, 11 to 12. Are we together? So, he brings you out. That's freedom. You're free. You're mutually exclusive. And then he teaches you. Back to what I was saying about freedom and dominion. When you look at the scripture closely, freedom looks instantaneous. Getting into dominion takes time. Have you noticed that? He brought them out of Egypt. I mean, it didn't take that long. But them getting to the promised land, how long did it take? 40 years. And of course, the Bible says, because of the unbelief. But God had planned that it was going to take them 40 days. Okay. Even that 40 days, God shows us clearly. That 40 days was for them to possess a part. Okay? Because if he takes them wholly in and drives out the people before them, he says, the beasts of the field will multiply against them. Are you seeing it? So, it's the same thing. God brings us out and begins to train us on how to walk in dominion. The day you got born again, you were freed from sin. Okay, depends on who you are listening to. That freedom begins to manifest. But as you grow in the things of the Spirit, God expects that you move from there into dominion over sin, into dominion over the earth, into dominion over the nations of the earth, dominion over the works of darkness and all that. Are we together? So Titus, let's read it. Look at this. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Actually, this is what the margin reads. For the grace of God that brings salvation to all men has appeared. Did you get that? there's a grace of God that brings salvation to all men, it has appeared. That's what it means. All right. Verse 12 now. Let's look at what that grace is. Teaching us. So, grace teaches. Can you see that now? That means grace brings you out and begins to train you for dominion. Teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So he's saying that, look, as far as the dominion of grace is concerned, okay, that being lived out through your life is not instantaneous. It has to be taught. The grace has to teach you. Am I making sense to you? So let the grace of God teach you. And by the way, teachings like this is grace teaching. Amen. This is the grace of God teaching you how to exercise dominion in the earth. Hallelujah. All right. So responding to redemption. I'll read a verse and few verses and then we'll pray. Responding to redemption. After the revelation of what Christ has done, of what God did through the sacrifice of his son, what do you do? Rejoicing. 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 That's number one. Rejoicing. Oh, glory to God. Rejoicing. Rejoicing. Oh, rejoicing. Hallelujah. Rejoicing. He's saying, after you have believed what God has done, a major way to unlock it is this response of rejoicing. A major way to unlock the power in this redemptive work is rejoicing. Listen to me. That long phase of gloom and doom and sadness is not a reflection of a believer. Check the Bible very well. The Bible has a lot to say about the accredited disposition of people who are saved. And part of it is a continuous or a life of continued and continuous rejoicing. That disposition of joy. He says, this is how you draw. Give me Isaiah very quickly. Isaiah 12, 1 to 3. Isaiah 12, 1 to 3. We're going to rejoice in this service. We literally rejoice with our minds on this sacrifice and watch what will happen. Now, we will rejoice with this picture of Christ evidently crucified, and then you put your needs, your heart desires side by side. Just let's experiment. Just pick one thing. Healing in your body, money in your hands, wife in your house, husband in your house. Amen. I don't know what it is. You need a car. You need somebody to get saved. Amen. I know there are many things you want. Let's experiment on one. Let's focus on one. Is that okay? Put it before you. As we read the scriptures, and we see that, look, there's a legality to the performance of what God has said. And we rejoice with it. Let's give you 1 week and see. Can we experiment? Glory to God. So, focus it according to the measure of the faith of the Son of God at work in you. Focus on that thing. And then we will dance with it. We will rejoice with it. For some of you, it will be instant. For some of you, on your way home, you will see it. For some of you, as you get home, you will meet it. For some of you, in 24 hours, it will be evidently in your hand. For some of you, by the time we come for service on Sunday, you will have a testimony. Oh, you will have that thing that was in your heart in your hand. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, let's put it up. The scripture. Look at this. And in that day, what day? The day of redemption. Thou shalt say, oh Lord, I will praise thee. He said, thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away. What does that look like to you? Redemption. Redemption. Your anger is turned away. You have comforted me. You comfort me. Present continuous, actually. Your anger is on the way, and you comfort me. Verse 2. Oh, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust I will not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He's also become my salvation. Can you see, in between salvation is singing? And then look at the next thing. Therefore, with joy, you shall draw out of the wells of that salvation. So when redemption comes, the first response is singing and rejoicing. That's what he's saying. After your mind has been enlightened, you are illuminated about what he has done, the response is rejoicing. Who is dancing? That's what completes the circle of your faith. Truly, you, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Truly, you, truly, when we say this thing, we're not joking. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. That's what completes that circle. Truly, truly, truly. He said, whom have ye not seen? Ye love. In whom though now you see him not yet. No. In whom though now you see him not yet believing. 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 What follows? No, read it out for me. Believing. What follows? Full of glory. Hallelujah. So after you have believed, what follows? Rejoice. With what? Joy unspeakable, full of glory. Joy. I wanted to illustrate something, but it has come upon me. He said, joy unspeakable. You, oh God, you are rejoicing, and words can express it. This is why you are jumping. This is why you are dancing. This is why you are shouting. This is why you are running around. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. Listen, a church that doesn't know how to rejoice can never break into the fullness of the blessings of redemption. Never. 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 Look at the ministries that are growing and covering the earth. Look at them very well. Look at them very well. They are either praisers or worshippers. Someone say, Hillsong Church, the man doesn't know how to teach it. They are just singing, singing, singing. And they are growing. You miss the point. You just miss the secret. It's in that singing. It's in that singing. That rejoicing. That coming with your arms out. Lord, you have purchased my salvation. Lord, thank you. I was unworthy, but you are my grace. You are my ransom. You are my mercy. Lord, thank you. How could I forget the miracle of your kindness? You are my soul celebration. You are my soul celebration. He says, with joy, you draw water out of the wells of salvation. That's what happens. What did you read in Numbers 23? From verse 20-21, he says, the Lord has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither has he seen perverseness in Israel. What follows? The Lord is God, is in his midst, and the shout of the king is among them. What do you think that shout of the king is? Is that rejoicing? Is that rejoicing? That's the sound of victory. La se pataya. It was Kenneth Copeland that asked Bishop Oedipo a few years ago. He said, you said we mentored you, but these results you are producing, they are strange. For example, this is a 50,000 auditorium. You are packing it out with three services. How is this happening? He says, sir, I danced every one of them into this place. No, he meant it. Yeah, it's not the first time he's saying it. He said, I danced every one of them into this place. That is that thing that the psalmist is saying, that Lord, you are my soul celebration. You have filled my mouth with all good things. That means in this arena of rejoicing, of responding in thanksgiving, of rebuilding the tabernacle of David. In that arena, there are no impossibilities. This is how you draw from the wells of salvation, meaning the souls, the harvest, the fruit of the heart desires. They are inside the well of salvation. The buga, is it buga they call it? The fetcher. Is joy. His joy. His joy. His joy. His joy. That's what he's saying. I dance them all in. Thank you, Jesus. On another occasion, he told him, he said, okay, in the last how many minutes that I've been with you, I've counted. You said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, up to 40 times. This is Kenny Copeland talking to Bishop Bidom. He said, you have said, thank you, Jesus, over, I can't remember the exact number, but in an unbelievable repeated time. And he was unconscious. Thank you, Jesus. He was not preaching. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. No, it was Dr. Copeland who told him. He said, I've counted. He said, I was counting. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You hear Baba Adeboye say that 90% of his prayer is thanksgiving. He is not lying. And you're asking, all the miracles that happen in the meeting, is he not praying for them? He's not saying, oh Lord, the miracle. Oh Lord, the miracle. Oh Lord. You see, the soul of the natural man is aligned to works. That's the problem. That is why we have prayer warriors, no praise warriors. No rejoicing warriors. Because in our mind, it's not hard enough. But the Bible says, this is how to draw out of the works of salvation. That means even when you pray, if this is not there, the prayer is not complete. The prayer is not complete. He said 90% of my prayers. It's the same thing with Pastor Chris. You say that, I don't ask God for anything. I just praise Him. I just worship Him. And they are taking the world. Taking the world. Taking the world. Why? There's something that has been known, that it is with joy you draw out of the wells of salvation. You didn't put anything in the well. It's been preloaded before you came. You can't put anything inside. All that you need is there. You know, part of the definition of grace is access to God's resources at the expense of Christ. Remember that, right? But He's saying, with joy. With joy, you draw out of the wells of salvation. With joy, with rejoicing, with rejoicing, with rejoicing. With that, oh, Jehovah being your soul celebration. This is how you draw. That's what He's saying. He said, blessed are they that know the joyful sound. Are you seeing it again? It's joyful sound. Why do you think God was using feast to demonstrate redemption? You didn't think about it. Feast is celebration. Oh, feast is party. Party. Don't you understand? Party. But do you get that now? That is what feast is. Glory to God. And that is serious. In Psalm 89 verse 15. He said, blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. Look at Amplify. Now, not joyful sound. Those who understand and appreciate the spiritual blessing symbolized by the feast. By the feast. So I said in the second service, God was telling a story of redemption by the feast. Why will He tell the story of redemption? By feast. It started with Passover. Then your living bread. Okay? Then first fruits. Okay? Then, what's the other one? Passover, yes. On living bread, first fruit, resurrection, Pentecost, yes. Then the feast of trumpets. Then the feast of atonement, Yom Kippur. Than the feast of ingathering, Sukkot. Why will God to show you that? Look, the response, what is inside is redemption, coming out is rejoicing, is a feastly approach. Even when we break bread and take communion, I've told you before that after every covenant, there's what we call ritual dance. Ritual dance is the same thing. This is why when we break bread, we create opportunities for rejoicing. Opportunities for rejoicing. It tells of your confidence in the covenant. Because you know that God cannot break His oath or promise. That God cannot break His word. He gave a promise and He swore an oath. He said, for by these two immutable things, it's impossible for God to lie. So now our souls can rest. We can have an anchor for our soul. Because there's a promise. And there's an oath, rejoicing, rejoicing. In Amos 9, from verse 11 or so, he began to talk about rebuilding the tabernacle of David. I can't get into all. You know, I promised with tabernacle of David talk, I'll find time to talk about it. But the point is, David set up a tabernacle and set up priests and Levites to be praising continually. Did you ever read it? To be praising continually. He knew the secret. Rise to your feet. Oh, Shabalaka Pato Soleba. So, we just dance and rejoice in 5 minutes. But very focused stuff. Okay? not haphazard, not anyhow. Okay? Very focused, deliberate. Okay? Deliberate. What does that say? What does that say? What does that say? That you know can happen according to timing and the co-perception of the spirit in your heart. You know it should happen this month. It should happen in this season. Something that is hanging. What is it? Maybe it's to break a barrier, clear an opposition, purchase something, get something done. Blessed Jesus. Put it before you. And then you are going to make Jehovah your soul celebration. You will rejoice and see that, look, that thing you are talking about, that thing that is your focus, has been paid. You are just drawing out of the world of salvation. How? With joy. Are you ready? Can I have the worship team? Just lift your hands without the music. Just say, Lord, you are my soul celebration. You can set up your own melody in your heart. I will sing hallelujah till you come again. Woo! Yeah. I will dance in your presence till you come again. Put it before
now, come
you.
Come on, sing hallelujah.
I will sing hallelujah.
Come on,
till you come again. If you need healing in your body,
dance in your presence.
Nothing can stop our praise.
We will dance in your presence.
so much in my heart. I'm gonna let it out. I'm gonna let it out. Come on.
Lift your hands. Hey. Lift your hands.
I see breath to everywhere.
Shepatola gombra tos kabalara rabayara.
I see deliverance everywhere.
Otapatola brota tos kora bakapanda.
I see chains breaking everywhere. Hey.
Akopotola brota. Ela ba 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 ba.
I see breath to everywhere.
Everywhere.
I see doors opening everywhere.
Yes, yes, yes. I see
everywhere.
I see everywhere.
I see sickness leaving everywhere. I see miracles. I see miracles everywhere. Yes, miracles everywhere. I see miracles. Cause Jesus is here.
Hey,
he is here. Do you believe
Jesus is here?
Easy. Messiah is here.
Easy.
The deliverer
is here.
Easy.
I see you.
Easy.
Jesus is here. I see strength be renewed. Elaba baba
Elaba
koraba kataba.
Because Jesus is here.
From yesterday, the Lord began to tell me about lifting power. Lifting power again. Lifting power.
It's not coming from everywhere.
He's within us. Lift your hands. Lifting power, touching your business. Lifting power, causing open doors. Lifting powers, causing, bringing a new season. Yes, for you, for families, for ministries. Lift your hands.
Lifting everywhere. He's lifting your bodies. He's lifting you to higher levels. Everywhere.
You are sick in any area of your body. Your healing has come. Any pain, any discomfort, your healing has come right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus. No, as you are praising, you will notice a change. And whatever you put forth as a heart desire, I speak in the name of Jesus. Whatever you have rejoiced over, I told you to just focus, right? Whatever you have rejoiced over, looking at the sacrifice of Jesus, looking at Christ evidently crucified, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, as a prophet of God, I release performance power. I release performance power. I declare performance power. That means as you are leaving this place, there's performance. As you are leaving this place, there's performance. Your desires of your heart are in your hands. In the name of Jesus, the things you have rejoiced over, they appear in your hand. Hey, I said the things you have rejoiced over. I don't care what it is, marriage, relationship, money, a new walk with God, a building, a new level, traveling overseas, scholarship. I don't care what it is. I speak in the name of Jesus. Lepatola barataba. Sickness in your body. I don't care what it is. I stand by the power of the Holy Ghost. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, my Lord and my Savior, my sender, I declare that there is a performance of those things in your hands. In the name of Jesus. Father, we receive. Father, we receive. Father, we receive. Father, we receive. Leba kalabanda kabalabaya. Ah, leba ba 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 ba. Leba kabalabosa. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we love you. We give you glory and honor. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Truly, I see fire everywhere. I see revival everywhere. I see glory everywhere. Because Jesus is here. Can you sing that song again for 3 minutes? It's a third service, so let's be free to receive the expression of the Spirit.
I see glory everywhere.
Just speak in tongues and receive.
I see glory everywhere. I see revival everywhere. Hey, are you expecting this morning? I see miracles everywhere. Hey, yeah. I see healing everywhere. Oh, and for some of you, this is it. I see prosperity everywhere. I see deliverance everywhere. Hey, hey,
the lady.
I see miracles everywhere. Hey, oh, oh, oh. I see miracles everywhere.
Don't lift your hands. I see the light of heaven lighting upon you while you were standing there. It's a new season. See the Lord. The Lord is filling the hunger of your soul. Multiplying your fire, increasing your capacity. Yes, 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 yes. But you are entering into responsibility. Yes, it's big shoe moment. Big shoe. Jesus. Jesus.
Jesus is here.
Liver. Just cover.
Come on, whisper to him.
The new season, I see multiplied faith. Ability. Thank you, Lord.
Healer is here. Hold your hands. Is here. Where your strength fails you, he comes to help you.
He is here.
When the burdens are too much for you to bear, your helper is here.
the man on white, is that Isang? Isang, right? I see the door opening, a door of help for you. Lift your hands. I see the Lord opening a door of help. Help has come for you. Mark my word too. As a prophet over your life, help has come. You will testify with tears in your eyes. Help has come for you. In the name of Jesus, receive it. Give the Lord a shout of praise.
Provider is easy. Easy, easy, easy. One more time before. Say, cheap this here. Jesus.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.